CMU head coach Chris Hanks. Chris, always good to talk with you. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I'm doing fine. Now, I don't know if you heard my conversation with Mike DeGeorge, because he was talking to you about how this RPI thing's going to work and stuff. And I go, you're asking Hanks about this stuff? Really? You're asking Hanks? It was meant very tongue-in-cheek, okay? Because I, you know, I have a great affinity for you. I don't think it's probably reciprocal exactly, but I love you, man. And I hope we're okay with that, because I was just giving a little grief. I'm glad you're on today, because I remember the last time we spoke was when you guys were playing. I think one of the final games that we did before everything got shut down was one of your baseball games. And I was getting ready to get on the bus to go to Canyon, Texas with the men's basketball team. And I remember you and I talking about where things might go with RMAC baseball at that point in time. And then right after that, boom, everything was shut down.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah, it's been a difficult off season. The most difficult one maybe you've had in your time coaching at CMU?
Oh, certainly. You know, it's been tough. It's been tough for everybody. I mean, you know, from business owners to schools to everything. You know, I think everybody's real familiar with how this has gone, and it's just been difficult.
Well, a place that you're in is familiar territory. When the D2 baseball rankings came out, Collegiate Baseball Newspaper released their rankings in December. Your team, the number two team in the nation, kind of what we expected, right? National runner-up, that you guys were going to be certainly in the top five, no doubt, to start out this year's campaign.
Yeah, you know, we have a good club back, and we had a good club last year. I think last year we could have really probably done some special things, and these kids are all back, and they've all had to weather this storm. And you know, our season now this season is being reduced from the start a little bit, so we're just hoping we get to play it and that we can stay up and running, and that things get back to as normal as possible.
Well, your team was able to go out and hit .340 before things got shut down. And Hayden McGarry, guy that led the way for you offensively, .471 batting average last season, what was an abbreviated season. But let's talk about your bats a little bit and the guys that you have coming back to lead your team offensively.
Yeah, well, basically, you know, as I mentioned, we have everybody. So Hayden McGarry and Spencer Bramwell, Caleb Farmer and Tyler Parker and, Jordan Stubbings. Chase Hamilton. So, you know, we got a lot of those kids back.
In regard to being able to work out with them with fall ball and everything, how did that work for you? How did that work for you and the staff, and Sean and Jeff and the guys, in regard to being able to get on the field this fall with the COVID restrictions and get some work in? Do you feel like you're able to do enough to, I mean, not what you're able to normally do naturally, but enough to kind of get your team ready for now, the start of this year?
Yeah, actually, we ended up having a very good fall and a pretty normal fall overall. You know, the school did an outstanding job of testing all the students before they came back. And then we created little family pods, so to speak. So our guys did a great job, as much as you can do, kind of hanging within their own group. So we were able to have our entire fall, all our scrimmaging, some great competition and development. And so we weren't really obstructed very much in that regard, and we never got shut down. So coming out of the fall, we feel like we're prepared. You know, there were some other schools that had much more difficulty. But a lot of our ability to do what we did was a result of what the university did with our testing program and things of that nature.
And that's the thing I keep hearing across the board. It's how the administration, how CMU approached testing that allowed the football team to actually play some football games this fall. Your team to go out and do the things you're able to do from a fairly normal standpoint. That's been one of the blessings about what Colorado Mesa has been able to do, is that it's afforded the chance to not lose a whole lot in where, like you said, a lot of programs have just been absolutely shut down, or it's had a tremendous negative impact on what they've been able to do.
Well, you know, President Foster, John Marshall, and the COVID team that was developed here at CMU, boy, they went to work on developing plans and protocol, I think. Possibly, I think it was even before the end of March or very beginning of April. But by and large, I think as a university, we were sitting here probably mid-July. We were ready to go. I mean, everything, we had everything in place, everything figured out. And we're just waiting for school to start. And it's interesting because in talking with other folks, you know, other schools even in our conference, that same point in time in July, a lot of them were just beginning the process of trying to work stuff out. And so CMU's been ahead of the curve from the outset. And I'm on a national a committee that has a coach from every region in the nation. And, you know, I've been able to have those conversations. And I'll tell you, there's nobody in the country, no conference, no school anywhere that was as far along as us and has done more than us. So it's a real testament to our leadership.
We're talking with Mavericks head baseball coach Chris Hanks today on the team. And, Coach, trying to, as far as I understand it, so your guys, some of them didn't lose a year of eligibility, as I understand it. So some guys that are going to be returning for you that maybe you thought were going to get some more playing time last year before everything shut down, some guys that you're really looking forward to seeing get more action as we have a season this year that you're really looking forward to seeing, maybe some new faces out there.
Well, you know, a couple of notable, you know, Trevin Reynolds, our ace on the mound, he was a senior last year, and he returns, and he was off to a great start to begin last year. And then we had a transfer come in, Tyler Parker, who was playing left and right field for us. He was off to a very good year. You know, those are two of the seniors that returned. And so, you know, as I mentioned, we have all those kids back that started in the national title game in 2019. At that time, they were sophomores. And last year, they were juniors, and now they're juniors again from an eligibility standpoint because the NCAA did grant that relief to where everybody got their year back.
So how do you deal with the logjam of new players coming in, guys staying, guys that you had not planned on staying, glad that they're there, glad they got that extra year, like Trevin Reynolds, but how do you manage that with players coming in and kind of setting their expectation, Chris, about what they're going to get to do in 2021?
Well, you know, that's been the big battle. I mean, we're sitting here with 49 guys on our roster right now. Because of that, you know, we had five or six seniors return that would have moved on. I think we had signed around eight kids. So, you know, and most people are dealing with the same problem. So it becomes a little bit of a management issue, you know, from the standpoint in a practice setting, getting reps. It's lengthened practice a little bit. We have to be more organized than we're usually very highly organized, but now it's even more of a strain to get all the reps into all the kids, get all the development, give them the attention they need to develop their skills. And then as we move forward, it just becomes, as I tell the guys, it's kind of a sift. You know, guys get sifted out along the way and roles are developed, sifted out in terms of they become backups or they become redshirted players and things like that. And as we get going here, we're just going to have to keep narrowing down to the core of guys that will do the actual playing.
Chris Hanks, coach of the Colorado Mesa baseball team, ranked number 2 in the nation, the preseason poll, joining us on the Team Sports Network. And Chris, I want to get back to pitching. You mentioned Trevin Reynolds, who was off to a really good start before things got shut down. Garrett Tisdale was also pitching pretty well for you. He had already had 7 appearances to start out last season.
Yeah, Garrett was really coming on strong, and of course he's back. Andrew Morris, our number 2, is back. Ryan Day is back. You know, all those kids that threw last year and that were so integral to us, you know, everybody's returned. But, you know, the Garrett and then 2 of the starters, you know, Trevin and Andrew Morris were the 2 kids that pitched game 1 and 2 in the Super Regional and at the World Series. Andrew was a true freshman then, so they returned.
Now let's take a quick look. Your schedule, it has you starting out on the 25th at home against Northwest Nazarene. Is that still in place? What does that look like in terms of playing your first game of the season?
Yeah, so we'll open up at home, and actually we'll have Montana State Billings here with Northwest Nazarene. We originally had them both here, but on separate weekends. But when the NCAA reduced our schedule from 50 to 40 games, it gave us only one opportunity for a non-league weekend, and both schools still wanted to come to Grand Junction. So I floated to them, well, you can both come, but you'll have to play each other also. So right now we're planning on doing that. And then the very second weekend we'll open up conference play.
So right into it. No trip to California, no trip to Florida, playing here.
No, we were scheduled to play Azusa Pacific. They were actually supposed to come here as well. We're probably going to get started a home and home thing over the years of Azusa Pacific now, and that had to be canceled. Right now we still get a season, but it's been reduced a little bit, which we'll just have to live with and adapt to. And as long as we get to play, we're now at a point where we're okay with that.
All right. Of course, we'll have coverage of Colorado Mesa baseball as we get into the season right here on the team. February 25th, the Mavericks play Northwest Nazarene over at Saplesio at 11:30 that morning. So, Chris, I got to ask you, today we'll find out if anybody's going into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Do you think any, because there's some chance we might see anybody get in today. Do you, Curt Schilling, Barry Bonds, Clemens, Scott Rowland, any of those guys get in today, in your opinion? I mean, do the voters overlook the steroid era with Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens? And again, I don't think we're going to see any big surprises today with the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Curt Schilling. I don't think I'm still of the opinion that the steroid guys shouldn't get in. Not yet. That's my feeling. And I feel like a Pete Rose is more... even though there was the betting, I don't know how to answer your question other than I don't think so.
You think Todd Helton will not necessarily get in this year, because I don't think he's going to have the 75% he needs, but I think at some point he'll get there. Do you think Todd Helton gets in the next couple of years, and should he be in the Hall of Fame, in your opinion?
I'm a fence sitter on that one. Just my opinion, I don't know. I would have to look at the other players at that position that are up for it or could be up for it. I don't know for sure whether he was a dominant enough player overall, considering some of the other competition, but I could be wrong on that too.
All right. Well, you're like the rest of us. It's just our opinion.
That's right.
There's no right or wrong answer. Hey, Chris, I always appreciate catching up with you. Do you have a skipism that kind of encapsulates 2020 that you've told the guys?
Boy.
Is there one that just kind of, one or two that maybe, boom, those are things I said during the stretch that kind of represents 2020 and how you've dealt with all, everything going on as a baseball coach at Mesa?
Well, we've just, we've tried to be adaptable. I might have something for you later, but we've just, really impressed upon them that the only way to survive is to adapt. And we have told them briefly a story, the difference between a panda and a cockroach. if you really look at pandas, they can only live in certain places. They only eat certain things. And if they don't live in certain places or eat certain things, they can't survive. Yet a cockroach can live anywhere and survive just about anything. So I don't know if it's a great analogy, but given this pandemic, we got to be more like a cockroach than a panda.
For a moment, I thought I was going to be disappointed. I really did. But then you came back strong like you always do. You kind of sandbag a little bit. Well, I don't really got anything, but I got this. The panda cockroach thing's great. It's brilliant. Did McKinney come up with that?
No.
Okay.
No,
I just thought he might have.
No. McKinney didn't come up with that. And I heard it somewhere from a guy, and I liked it, but, you know, those darn cockroaches are pretty resilient.
I just have to give you some grief, man. It's great talking with you. It's great talking about baseball and, you know, feeling like things are kind of getting slowly back to normal. Hey, Chris, I always appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you and seeing you at the ballpark here very, very soon.
Thanks a lot, Jim. We'll talk soon.
All right, take care. Chris Hanks, coach of the Colorado Mesa baseball team. I always just like to give him grief. That's just how...
Be more like a cock.